Rolling. Hello, Andy and Zach here, A to Z No BS Show. Here we are, creeping up on the end of a wild year.
Episode 93?
Yep,
I think okay. So. Cool. It has been a crazy year.
Yeah, man.
I had a baby.
Mm.
That's like the main thing.
I was going to say, that's probably the highlight.
Yeah.
I broke, well, we had our respective injuries last year.
Uh-huh.
You had a baby this year.
Uh-huh. I opened the gym last October, so I just hit my anniversary a couple month or so ago.
Yeah.
2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. I didn't do anything for that. Like, I meant to make a bigger deal out of it, and we were 3 weeks away from having a baby, so I just forgot.
That's right.
Yeah.
I made an Instagram story about it.
That's true. And, well, I didn't make a post.
I feel like I did my part.
I made a post about it on Instagram. But as far as, like, I didn't do anything for, like, clients or whatever. Now, I will in the spring, like in May, I'll do a client appreciation barbecue cookout thing at my house. But that's months away, so.
Do you, like, officially recognize founding members? Is there like a founders club of the Andy Van Grinsven strength and conditioning gym membership?
No, not necessarily. And that's something I probably could do. I could take because everyone has shirts. Like, you know, I got my merch. Everyone has shirts. I like take them back and like stitch like an F.
Patches.
Like a patch. Give them a patch. Or a specialty sticker or something.
Yeah.
Or a mug. It's got a like flexi arm handle.
Yeah.
Or something.
You could have merch like for founding members and then merch designating like every
year.
Like year.
Holy shit. And I have data on a lot of these people. Like my client Chris has been with me. We are creeping up on 10 years training together.
She's a black belt.
Yeah.
She's a black belt under the
AVG
system.
Yeah. Dana has probably been with me. So she was at my wedding in 2014. So she's been with me for, is that 8 years? Over 8 years. Probably mm-hmm. closer to 9 years that she's been with me. Holy shit.
Wow.
I can go back and look and see who like all the founding people are. I do tell them how much I appreciate them and like thank them profusely.
Well, that counts for something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like, thanks, sup, see you later, nice work, good squat.
You're generous with your words of affirmation.
In the walls of the gym, yeah. I am not good with words of affirmation outside of the gym, I don't think.
I try to be.
I know you are. Every time I've been out with you in public, you say a lot of really nice things. I think like the last time we were at Rosemary, you were like, what is it Mike says? Pumping your tires. I think that's the phrase he uses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're really good at pumping my tires.
you know how this is maybe a weird example, but we know the idea of like a trophy wife. You parade around, you know. You're like a trophy friend.
Oh.
Colleague, like I want to show off how great my friend Andy is.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I sometimes fear that I can't live up to those expectations.
Well, maybe I'm consciously or subconsciously actually trying to like, you know,
boost my ego a little bit.
Boost your ego and then also maybe raise your standards.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep you motivated.
That's why if I think about it in the moment, and I'm like, I'm not that impressive. Especially lifting-wise. I don't have good numbers on the bar.
Well, you know, there's the meme, I'm trying to be the person that my dog thinks I am.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe your thought process could be, I'm trying to be the man that my buddy Zach thinks I am.
Oh, I like that.
If I can be that type of source of motivation for people, that's good enough for me.
I like that. I think that I'm, that whole... be the person my dog thinks that I am. I think I am that person with my clients at my gym.
Mm.
One of my clients once asked me, if it was all like if it was all like performative.
Like your general attitude in the gym?
Disposition, you know, the way that I talked and joked and
Yeah,
laughed, and
sure.
if it was all more or less performative because they're coming in, they're paying me for my services, I'm trying to bring in a type of energy to the gym.
Sure.
And I told him, and I don't think this was a lie. I was like, no, this is probably as close to the most happy, elated, awesome version of me that you're ever gonna get, like ever, anywhere. And two, like it's easier when I'm busy with clients to express that side of me a lot easier and also leave a little bit more of my shit at the door. Now that said, and you might have this with your client, I don't know, but with my clients, I don't share like all the things because that, you know, we've got boundaries and stuff. But they know that I had a baby and that I'm tired and that I'm not thinking as sharp, and they're very patient and forgiving, and they help me out and we laugh about it. They know that my cat just passed away, that I'm having a hard time with it. So they're very forgiving, very understanding, very, you know, a couple of my clients have given me hugs. So, you know, but for the most part, all the for lack of a better word, negative stuff, I can kind of leave at the door, and all the positive stuff I can bring in and like amplify.
Yeah.
It's not performative. It is legitimately who I am.
Well, I think if you're going to be a coach in the capacity that you are, you have to be. Because, I mean, you're talking about half of your day every weekday for years and years on end. It would not be sustainable if you were just putting on an act.
Putting on a show, right.
Now, and in addition to that, I mean, we are different people in different environments.
Sure.
So it's not like, you know, you're not Andy the coach 24/7.
Oh no, I leave that person at
Right. But
the door.
because you have boundaries, because you have expertise and confidence in your skills, and especially now you have your own gym. And you have a great relationship with your clients. You have the freedom to be this version of yourself, Andy the coach. So it's not performative, but it is a unique expression of yourself that only can come out when you're engaged in training and coaching, being around people. Obviously, helping people succeed, share in their successes, and help them through their struggles. So yeah, I very much experience the same thing. I always try to be myself, whether I'm on camera, whether I'm on podcast, whether I'm in a one-on-one session, a group session, a workshop, a seminar, whatever the case may be. And I might express myself and bring a different energy to each one of those different, environments or scenarios. I'm still being myself. And if you're doing it right, it should be sustainable. Well, then you start getting into the whole introverted extroversion conversation. But what I really mean is, you're being authentic. You're not putting on airs. You're not saying things that you don't mean, that kind of thing.
Well, and you know, I think my space allows me to cultivate the exact environment that I want because it's mine, right? It's like when I'm in your apartment, we're in your apartment right now. I am making myself comfortable and I am drinking your beer. Thank you for the beer.
You're welcome.
But I'm probably not gonna do in your apartment what I do in my house.
Sure.
Like I'm thinking like taking my socks off, or I don't know, whatever I might more comfortably do in my own. But the point is, in my own gym space, I can really flex or flesh out like who I want to be as a coach.
Sure.
Whereas if I was in someone else's house doing it, like I have one in-home client, I'm not exactly the same me with him. He's 82, he's hard of hearing, he's got a lot more challenges that we have to work around. So it's still fun. We have a great time, but it's just a different environment.
Sure.
When I was at McCabe, it was somewhere, it was the public's gym. There were like the public had access. So I I couldn't very freely throw the F word around. Now I don't throw it around like crazy in my own space, but I'm like, it's my space. I can do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will have R-rated language in my gym. I'm not trying to set records for how many times I can say fuck in an hour, but
you only do that on the podcast.
Only on the podcast. But like the podcast, I'll probably say fuck maybe a total of 2 times. In any given hour with the client, 1 or 2 times maybe. But it's my space. I get to kind of flesh that out, read the room, do whatever I want, whatever, whatever. It's mine. I can do that. It's like my home, just away from home. And I think people kind of gravitate towards that. Or they don't. You know, certain people probably might not enjoy the environment. But my people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's warm. It's welcoming. It's inviting. I have towels for people. I have water ready. I try to keep the temperature. Try to make the music, you know, fun or whatever. I try to make sure that I address everybody individually and as the group. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I hope you share this thorough. Is your microphone okay there?
It's irritating my skin.
Okay.
So I'm just going to move it a little bit.
There you go. Want to make sure you're comfortable.
I'm pretty comfortable.
Well, I hope you shared this long drawn out response to your client who brought up the initial question.
I did.
Are you putting on airs?
You and I both know that I lack the economy of words.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
So speaking of putting on airs, putting on masks.
Yeah, great turn of phrase there.
Thank you. Speaking of maybe being a little fake.
Yeah.
Let's broach the topic of Livergate 2022.
I hadn't heard it called that, but I like that.
So for those who may not be familiar, and to be fair, Andy and I are barely familiar ourselves.
Right.
But there's a character out there, and I will explain shortly why I call this entity a character, called the Liver King. Even if you're not like super into fitness, you've probably heard or seen something about the Liver King. And it's wild because I log on to my Snapchat like once every 6 months. And last time like I got on, the first thing that I saw was an ad or some sort of sponsored story by Liver King.
Hmm.
And it's this big bearded dude who's holding animal organs, what I assume is obviously a liver. And he's yoked to the gills and he's got giant abs that just, you know, when you're just holding a smartphone, the dude's image, just his image, his body, it just leaps out of the screen.
Right.
It's wild. It's wild. And then, of course, you know, you see his likeness on social media, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. The guy amassed, you know, millions of followers across all of these platforms. And I will admit right now that I've consumed a grand total of probably 3.5 minutes total of this guy's content.
Likewise.
Over, you know, over the past year or whatever. But what I think the deal is this guy is someone who sells supplements, mostly like organ and liver supplements.
Right.
That's kind of the long and the short of it.
Well, and I think a certain lifestyle, like I don't think does he eat carbs and vegetables? Or
well, now like, here's where we start getting into a gray area. It's because I'm not talking about what he's actually, the issue at hand is what he actually does or what he doesn't do.
Right, but it's not even
selling.
What he's selling.
What he's making his money off of.
Right. And also, like, but I think part of that is like a lifestyle.
Is a lifestyle.
Like,
fundamentally, supplements.
Right.
Like, selling the solution.
Sure.
That's, I think when it comes down to like brass tacks, you know, you may or may not be able to sue somebody for selling you the idea of a lifestyle, but maybe you can sue somebody for selling you, like, you know,
crushed,
yeah,
cow sawdust. Liver or whatever, yeah, powdered pig gut, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So all that to say, dude is jacked out of his brain box.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive physique.
His lift, from what little of the 3.5 minutes I've witnessed, his lifting is impressive.
Sure.
He'll have what, like an 80 or 100 pound kettlebell per hand, plus a sled, plus a weighted vest, like trying to walk down the street or whatever.
Well, if anybody tunes into our training highlights from Saturday mornings, they'll see similar performances.
Right. Yeah. Scaled appropriately.
Scaled appropriately. That's one way to put it.
But so like
certified natty.
So he looks jacked and he moves a lot of weight. It's not like he's lifting like 25 pound, you know, curls. He's got some weight on him, but yeah, that's not for sure necessarily the point we're trying to make here.
For sure. So the hammer drops here, in case you haven't heard. This guy has claimed up and down to everybody's face that he is 100% natural. And by that, what we mean is that he's supposedly not taken any performance-enhancing drugs.
Right, he just eats liver.
And supposedly is ultra-natural because he's out here eating organs.
Right.
You know. Anybody, I think, who has some common sense and trusts their common sense knows that, like, that was probably not true. And it came out here recently that he was taking not just a little bit of steroids, but a lot of steroids.
Yeah, $11,000 per month worth.
Imagine that.
I don't know what a regular steroid, like a regular normal person steroid injection, whatever costs per month. I can't imagine it costs $11,000.
Yeah. I mean, if you just imagine like your quote unquote average professional or semi-professional bodybuilder who is, you know, taking performance enhancing drugs, can't afford anywhere near that.
Right.
So you're probably talking like a budget of maybe a couple hundred to a couple, you know, $1,000 a month or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
But then you talk about this guy who's raking in what I would assume to be millions of dollars. He made some claim, I think, in the highlight of the apology that I heard or something like that, that quote unquote, he was rich before he got famous and he was even more rich after he got famous. So I assume this guy has, you know, multiple kind of seven figures to play around with. So
wonder what he did before the Liver King persona or whatever. I don't care enough to go look.
Probably some other scam.
Probably.
The idea there being like, okay, you're working with that kind of cash, dumping, you know, what is that, five figures in drugs a month is probably like no big deal to sustain this wild persona and physique that is probably driving astronomical sales and attention. And I mean, in today's day and age, like, attention is currency in a certain kind of way. So all that to say, that's a long rambling way to set the scene that this is another charlatan who's been exposed. And because this guy is in the wellness, fitness, health industry, I figured we could offer our takes and our thoughts.
Well, where do you want to start?
I'm not sure what came first, like Popeye the cartoon or like Popeye spinach. I don't really know like what the history is there. But let's just say, for an example, like the image of Popeye has been used to sell canned spinach.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Sure. We know that's a cartoon.
Okay.
But fundamentally, what's going on there? You're taking an image of a, let's say, superhuman character, like a physique, a human that is beyond the norm, and you're slapping it on a product to sell more of that product.
Okay.
That idea has been around since the beginning of marketing.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, that's just modern, that's just marketing.
That's just marketing.
Yeah.
Even something that's a little bit more benign, like let's say like Tony the Tiger. Tony the Tiger is this energetic wild beast that we slap on the front of the cereal box. Reasonably, we don't expect to eat a bunch of spinach and turn into like Big Arm Popeye. We don't eat a bunch of
Frosted Flakes
and expect to like have all this unbounded energy like maybe Tony the Tiger.
I should have lied and said Fruit Loops. Because that's toucan
sand. I know that. I know that much. But we can find like lots of examples of like characters that are used to sell product. And so we're in the day and age where you can manufacture like your own image. Like it used that like this used to be just in the realm of Hollywood and celebrities. But these days, almost anyone can turn themselves into a celebrity. And if you can do that, then you can give your own celebrity endorsement to anything that you want to sell or make money off of. Now, not necessarily saying that that's always a bad thing, because that's kind of what we're all doing here. Like, we're living the lifestyle that we're selling.
Mm-hmm.
But therein lies kind of the gray area, is living the lifestyle that you're selling. Does this guy stand for some great principles of health and wellness? I'm sure. But he's getting all of that attention through, you know, he's not out here citing scientific studies. He's out here flaunting giant cut abdominals.
He's selling a dream that a lot of people have.
He's selling the dream. And if you also want to say, hey, eat healthy, eat liver, and take steroids and you can look like me, I have no problem with that. But if you're saying, eat the liver and I don't take steroids, and you should still buy the liver, that's where things get immoral. In a way that is, I mean, it's obviously a lie. I mean, you know, hey, lying is immoral. Okay, well, that's one layer of the conversation. But a whole another layer of the conversation is like what your lie is selling. What is it doing? So
my hang up with this example, and I'm not defending Liver King, because you and I have talked extensively about this. I don't do overt marketing for my own business at all. My marketing is word of mouth or whatever. Like, that's how I get new clients. That's how I build my business, is word of mouth referrals. Try to do a good job with my clients. I have, in the past, had a more negative image of fitness marketing as a whole, whether it's content creation, videos, writing, articles, being a sycophant for so-and-so, like, oh, you know, trying to like, you know, rub elbows with the people that are influencers in the industry or whatever, writing sales pages, like sales copy. It all, to me, is just, all of it, I could put in a trash can and push it away from me, because it's just all, to me, is under the same umbrella. My question is, are we collectively angry and upset with Liver King because he's a human. He's a person with a face and an image that sold this lie. And why aren't we having the same reaction to any other supplement industry that's just a company? Like, there's tons. The supplement industry makes trillions of dollars a year. And you and I both know that there's enough suspect supplements out there that I think you and I probably take very few, if any, because there's so much crap on the market. Is it easier to turn our attention to Liver King for selling an image and supplements because he's a human person that we can be angry at and target versus, I don't know, Nature's Valley or whatever those supplement companies are that sell all the different vitamins and minerals and so on and so forth? To be fair, I don't see a lot of, like, I'm going to say Nature's Valley. Nature's Valley is a granola brand.
I was going to say.
Whatever. But
they sell the promise of a convenience granola bar.
Right.
When in reality, you're just covered in crumbs.
Okay. Yeah, because, yeah, you're right. Every time I eat those, I have to stand outside. I can't eat that in my gym. I'll get ants. But the point I'm trying to make is there's tons of supplement companies out there making probably not as obvious claims as Liver King is, but making claims that they can't back up and selling their supplements and raking in millions of dollars a year. And we don't necessarily collectively point our fingers at them and say, so-and-so has been selling sawdust in their protein mix for 20 years or whatever. We don't do that. Actually, nobody does that. There's only one website, and I can't remember the name of it right now, that actually does quality controls on all the different, like, let's say you want to buy a protein. They actually go and do, like, quality control studies on all the different proteins to tell you, like, how much of what's in the label or what's on the thing is factual. Mm. That's easier to forget about or disregard, whereas Liver King is a person that we can be like, oh, fuck this guy, because he sold a lie. It's like, well, he's doing exactly what every other supplement industry, not every, what a lot of other supplement companies are doing. It's just he's a person that we can all get mad about. I'm not defending him. I think he's an idiot. I thought he was a fucking idiot from the start. But he's a person that's easier to, like, mentally visualize as opposed to, like, a faceless corporation or whatever. Mm. That's all I'm trying to say with this.
Well, just like that, you've doubled the F word count on the podcast episode.
Probably.
That's.
I'm tired. I get a pass. I have a baby.
Well, on the one hand, I see what you mean. And yes, there is an element there of, like, this is a person that it's easy to lob critiques at.
Right.
And we, as humans, enjoy doing that. If you're half as judgmental as me, it's a really great pastime. Passing judgment and lobbing critiques.
I mean, is he responsible? He's responsible for the lie. Is he responsible for the consumer buying the lie? I mean, he's marketing it. He didn't force my hand and say, I have to purchase pulverized liver capsules or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but he makes money on it. It's an ethical issue here where on the one hand, we live in a society that he can do what he did and make a ton of money doing it. Is it ethical? No. Is it legal? Yes. At least by our FDA standards or whatever. And I was thinking about it as we were talking about it. He's not the only one. People love a ton of hate at Dr. Oz for all the bullshit he shills on his show. What's her name? The actress that sells, like, really expensive, like, ceramic eggs that you can slip up your vagina. I'm sure you've heard of this. Oh, what's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I knew it was Gwen. Gwyneth Paltrow. So there are other people that sell these lies, these fabricated or hyperinflated realities if you buy or consume a certain product or service or whatever. There's plenty of those people. Liver King is just the newest one that's been exposed.
Well, here's I think as a fitness professional, some of the things that are most frustrating to me, one is that this is just another example of how people's trust can be further eroded in the fitness industry. You know, because it's like you have, to quote Green Day, you have people living on the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. People are just seeing an endless parade of photoshopped physiques, enhanced bodies, and it's like it's being put in your face, and it's ostensibly being shown to you in such a way that, like, this is something that you should strive for. And not to say that these things aren't things that you should strive for. I think that's everybody's individual choice. But then to also hide the fact of what it actually takes to get that. That's really the thing. And so I think where, where like guys like us, we're kind of like, hey, good enough is kind of good enough. Like we're in shape dudes, but we're not cover of the magazine ready.
Now,
At least not
if the
all the
magazine was like,
time.
we're gonna pay you some money to be in shape to be on the magazine, I would get in shape for the magazine.
Sure.
But right now, psh.
But we're very forthright in just saying like, hey, let's develop a lifestyle, let's develop a habit around training and sensible nutrition. So you don't want to tamper anybody's dreams. You don't want to temper anybody's goals and vision. But you also want to be like realistic. And what we're selling, that kind of is the thing that rubs me kind of the weird way, is because then it makes me think, well, like, what am I really selling? Like, is it supposedly that us and Liver King are selling the same thing, which is your healthiest, strongest body? Is that it? Is that what people are actually thinking?
I think if Liver King in the beginning had, but here's the thing, you're not going to make millions of dollars selling a supplement if you are forthright in the beginning. You're like, I also inject my ass with $11,000 worth of, of drugs or whatever every month. Like, no one's going to then buy your product. So you have to lie about how you got that physique, and or you have to, be like, oh, I just eat, liver and train like a maniac. And he does train like a maniac. I don't think he has that physique purely on steroid use, but he does train really hard. I don't know, man. He's selling what people can't achieve. He's just lying about how he got it. We are selling a lifestyle that's achievable. Now, is it as flashy and sexy as Liver King? No. Is it doable, approachable, like achievable? Yes. So, I don't know. I would rather be on the side that we're on, knowing full well that we are ethically helping people try to achieve greater strength, body composition, confidence in their abilities, in their physique, whatever, whatever. I go to bed at night knowing that I don't make millions of dollars a year, but I don't lie to my clients' faces when they ask for my help. Quite the opposite, actually. I will tell them if I don't know an answer. I'll be like, I can't give you the answer that you're wanting to hear. I won't give you the answer that you want to hear. I will give you the answer that I know is ethical to tell you, but that doesn't mean that we can't try to, like, set a high bar and try to achieve it. I'm just gonna give you to you straight. Having Liver King's physique, natty, is probably impossible. I mean, let's be honest. Do you think you could get to Liver King's physique level natty?
No. You know, unless you were a genetic freak that, you know, had super natural amounts of, let's say, testosterone, or, you know, you had human growth hormone that just never stopped pumping,
Off the charts.
you know? But yeah, so major takeaways. Well, one, do you think that this is a net positive or negative, or do you think it makes any difference for the fitness industry or scene as a whole?
Seeing as you and I are in the industry and our own collective consumption of Liver King's content is less than 10 minutes, I think in a few months everyone will probably remember it but have mostly forgotten it. So I don't think it overall, I think it's a little bit damaged. It's damaging to him, and it ought to be. He lied. He sold a giant fat lie, made a lot of money doing it. So he's not the only person that sold a giant fat lie and lost a lot of money doing it this year. So he's not unique. He's only unique to us because he's in our industry. But the liver kings of the world that sell lies and make a ton of money, there's lots of those people. They make the news when they're exposed. In 6 months, I don't think we'll be having this conversation anymore. Or we'll have this conversation about someone else that's been exposed, but no, I don't think so.
I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, if I put myself in the shoes of, you know, a 16-year-old guy who's like just starting to really think about trying to make something of himself, you know, you're scrolling your social media and you get sucked into the Liver King world, and you're like, man, hey, maybe there's some good and bad about it. Maybe, oh, I'll, you know, stop eating pizza every night, and maybe I'll start eating raw organs. Or at least more lean meat and vegetables and less processed foods, which net net is probably good. But then, you know, then it comes out that he's taking steroids, and that this physique that you've been so inspired by, that you assumed in your naive mind was achievable in a natural way, or in the way that he was promoting. Are you deflated? Do you feel duped? Do you feel like dumb? Oh, I've been had. You know, it's kind of like, you know, how do people feel like when they're in a cult and then they find out they're in a cult? Like, how do those people feel? Like, do you double down? Is there that cognitive bias where you're like, well, yeah, but
Probably both. There's probably groups of both. I was thinking of an example before you said cult. I was thinking of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has been convicted of and accused of some horrendous stuff. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I'm going to take my shot here. There's nothing about that organization that is redeeming to me. That's my take on it. There are a lot of people, loads of people, that find community and peace and a number of positive things with their relationship with their church, whether it's Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, whatever, despite the bad players in religion. And there's plenty of bad players in religion, but it still serves a greater purpose for a lot of people. I don't think that that's exclusive, that experience of what we're talking about is exclusive to religious affiliation. It's the same thing with fitness. All the famous people in fitness that we look up to and that we idolize, well, I want to be like them. And then you find out that they're fat liars. And yeah, I mean, some of us will probably double down and be like, and apparently Liver King has his own group of people that are like this, that are doubling down, like, oh, well, it's a lie or it's fake, or I'm still going to eat my liver and I'm still going to train like a maniac. There are still those people that are going to hold on to their belief in the Liver King, and probably an equal amount of number of people that have abandoned ship. I think that's probably going to be the case for any group of people that follow a large something or another, whether it's religion or Liver King or Dr. Oz or a certain politician that they really like, whatever, whatever. You're going to have probably a mix of both of those people that are adamant followers and those that feel jaded at the end of the day when they find out that so-and-so wronged them in some way.
Yeah.
I think this isn't, this conversation is not unique to fitness and Liver King. There's a lot of these examples outside of fitness.
Yeah. Well, priests, politicians, and liver pill peddlers all succumb to the same fate.
Are all selling something. Some of us are buying it and some of us are not.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there again, there's that same thing. Can you separate the message from the messenger?
Yeah, I think so. And to your point, I'm sure there's some things that Liver King said that are reasonable. Now, eating only animal organs as your primary food source is probably, even if that was your major takeaway, was train like a maniac and eat a lot of organ meats. I've never had organ meats, so I can't say, but it sounds cost prohibitive to me to buy organ meats all the time. I don't know if it is, but to be like buying organ meats all the time, I don't know. My dad likes chicken livers and turkey livers. I'm not going to be one of those people. No. He's certainly not jacked. He's like old man strong. Like every time he does a thing that old dads do where they want to shake your hand and they crush it because they can because they're just old man strong.
It's all that liver.
I guess. So, yeah. I'm not. But point is, there's probably something in the message that is usable.
Yeah.
Just not the supplements or the eating liver five times a day or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think other major takeaways, don't be duped. Don't be fooled. I always think like when I see these larger than life characters or, you're seeing a resource or a personality that's espousing something, red flags should go up. You should put your skeptic hat on. I always thought like with Liver King, I was like, well, show me your progression. Like when were you a normal guy? And where was like your 3, 6, 9, 12 month progress photos over the course of however many years? But when somebody just kind of comes out of the blue and they're jacked to the gills, it's like, well, okay. Can you show me the receipts?
Right.
You know?
I think there's something to be said, because you've probably seen, like, it doesn't have to be Liver King. It can be, anybody who, like, these before and afters of, like, when I was 16, I probably weighed, like, 140 pounds and I probably had visible abs. Had I started training and eating right, I probably would have been lean and jacked. And then I could have sold that image and been like, you too can be jacked like me. It's like, well, I started off lean and I was in my teens and 20s. You know how easy it was to like put on some size and like sling some weight and eat like an asshole and get away with it in your 20s? Show me someone who was overweight or struggled with their body image at 35. And by 45, doing all the things, like really turned it around.
Right.
I like that. That's the stuff that I'll buy into. If you started at 16 and you hit puberty, or let's say 14, and you were tiny, and then you hit puberty and you started lifting weights and you're like, oh, I'm shredded now. It's like, yeah, you were a teenager that hit puberty and you started lifting weights. Everybody is like, as long as you do a couple things right, you're all going to look jacked. So like that again, I'm not impressed by that. But going back to your point, I think it's probably a good idea to always have a sense of skepticism for anything, for anyone or anything that's selling. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. With Liver King, if he's like, all I did was eat liver and train, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something amiss. There's something off here.
And it's always the one thing. The one
thing. You haven't done it, Zach. You haven't been eating your liver.
Right.
That's the one thing. Let me sell you the solution. You would look like Liver King if only you were to buy the liver supplements or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the one hidden secret.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think I don't really know much about Dr. Oz, but wasn't you always see these things on TV every so many years? It's the berry. It's this exotic berry.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, acai berry.
Yeah.
10 years ago, nobody knew what an acai berry was.
Yeah, and now it'll like cure your cancer or whatever.
Now it's all over the place. And I mean, hey, it's probably a healthy thing to eat, but you know, blueberries. You know, you don't really have you really you don't see the blueberry king.
Right.
You know, you don't see a guy who's out here who's like, I smash blueberries.
You know what? I'm gonna send this podcast to Brian. You remember my friend Brian from Grand Rapids that
Brian
owns
from
Intermediate?
Motive?
Yeah.
Of course.
You remember Brian? He smashes blueberries. He'll eat an entire carton in one sitting. It's incredible to watch. He buys his own carton of blueberries and will eat the whole thing. I like blueberries. I thought I liked blueberries. We're gonna send this podcast to Brian.
He
I'm just gonna tag him in it.
should brand himself Blueberry King.
Yeah, he should.
Now, great way to inspire people to eat more fruit, for sure. Lots of great micronutrients in blueberries,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Well, it gets you to be jacked. That's the problem. Is eating blueberries, is it gonna make you
Is it
shredded?
gonna make you shred? A, is it gonna make you shredded? B, do you have a proprietary blueberry blend that only you have the patent to that you can sell?
Right.
Because that's the thing, if it's too easily available or cheap,
Right.
then it's not a hook.
It's bred from a certain specific strain of blueberries only found in the altitude of the Peruvian mountain.
Peruvian blueberry. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That sounds like some Dr. Oz shit.
Yeah.
Peruvian blueberries.
Yeah. It can't be no like Argentinian blueberries. It's got to be Peruvian
Right. And so then, you
blueberries.
know, your just general public, Joe Schmo goes, yeah, blueberries are healthy.
Oh,
Oh, but I can't get the ones from the store because I
yeah.
gotta get
Those are full of toxins or whatever.
exact yeah. And then I mean speaking of charlatans, you want to talk about Dave Asprey with like bulletproof coffee.
Oh my God, yeah.
Again, same thing.
I'm sure there's all sorts of bulletproof whatever out there still, but I don't hear anything about bulletproof anything anymore.
No.
That was a craze like 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It's like caught, you know, butter in your coffee. Okay? Everybody has coffee, everybody has butter. How do you make money off of that? The toxins. You can't just use any coffee.
Right.
You have to use the special coffee beans that don't have the magic toxins.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you need the magic beans that don't have the nasty
The
toxins.
nasty, yeah.
Right? Or, I
And
mean, hey, maybe those toxins are magic.
they only
That's, you know.
cost twice as much as your standard store bought.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
At least. So there again, if you have the hook, if even if it's around a product or a resource or something that people have easy access to, you have to put some sort of spin on it
Right.
to where only yours is the solution.
Right. I mean, I think it's human nature for us to like latch on to the thing that's either great, like the one thing that's missing that would make me so much bigger and stronger, or the one thing that's holding me back. If only I didn't eat store-bought blueberries because of toxins or whatever, I could be the next Hulk or whatever. I think a lot of people find these hooks and latch onto them. And whether it's fitness or religion or I don't know, what sales copy script, whatever, whatever.
Well, I think we're hitting on a theme here. Politics, religion, fitness.
Yeah.
If there's another obvious example, it's not exactly coming to me, but yeah, it's the same. These are scripts that are written deep in the human psyche.
Yeah, it's just really good marketing.
Influence,
Influence, marketing,
persuasion.
yeah. And everyone doesn't, you know, you don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be eating the toxic blueberries from Kroger. You want to be eating the Peruvian blueberry strain or whatever, you know?
Dude, I am already thinking about Googling Peruvian blueberries.
Yeah, what if they didn't, like, blueberries, like, don't grow in Peru? Even better. There's a special facility.
That's it.
That needs the water from the...
It's the Peruvian water.
Right.
Yes.
At the special facility that breeds the special blueberries or whatever.
Speaking of water, dude, Fiji water.
Yeah.
Dude.
Did you know, I learned this a long time ago, that the two top-selling bottled waters, so I think it was Dasani and another one, the number one, number two top-selling bottled waters are recycled water. They're not like the, you know, like natural spring water or whatever. They are water that was eaten and or drank and then pissed out or shit out and then recycled through a water plant and then back into a river and then so on and so forth. It's all recycled. The number one, number two water brands. And you, I don't know if you do, people spend $2 a pop.
Well, it depends on who it's been recycled through.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Well, all the water on the planet is the same water that's been here for, what, millions of years? So, anyway, we're getting off track.
Well, I will quote myself.
What, are you the next Liver King?
No, there was, I think, a glass of water I had sitting out, and I had a girlfriend at the time who was like, oh, I'm thirsty. And I was like, drink that glass of water. And she was like, that water's old. And I said, all water is old.
I mean, in fairness, like, what goes bad in water? Like, a glass of water. The only reason that I probably wouldn't drink a glass of water is if it had been sitting on a table in an abandoned house for 30 years. In which case, like, stuff might have fallen in it. I'm not going to drink that water. But, like... I had a glass of water that sat on my coffee table for like a day. Of course I drank it.
Expired water, dude.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, we're getting off track. But, you know, I think it's part of human nature. I know that I, for sure, have in the past been susceptible to marketing or whatever. And probably now in less so in fitness. And I try to be less so in politics. I try to... Anytime something comes out, like political news, I do try to do like some diving in, research, reading, different outlets, whatever, if it's a topic that I'm interested in, because I always have this skepticism, even if it's something that I like, that I agree with, that I bias towards. I do try to have a semblance of skepticism, like what if what I'm reading or I'm enjoying or consuming, what if it's not exactly what I think it is? What if it's a little exaggerated or hyperinflated or if it's hyperbole? So there's some truth to it, but it's probably not exactly what I think it is. I do try to do that with politics especially. I don't know if the average person does that. I don't think I'm special. I just don't think that the general population at large tries that hard to like dive in and see if the claims that, it doesn't matter if it's politics, supplements, Liver King, if the claims that they're making are backed by any sort of like legitimate whatever. I think people just latch on. And again, I have been susceptible of doing, I've done this in the past too. I've bought the supplements. I've bought business coaching because I thought it sounded good. That turned out to not be great. I've done this. So I'm not saying I'm free from having made these mistakes in the past, but maybe that's part of the reason why I am hyper skeptical of anything that sounds even remotely too good to be true.
Well, that's 100% it. That's 100%. If you've been burned, then that's a lesson that you learned the hard way, and you recognize the flaws in your own style of thinking, and your awareness opens up to these patterns in other places in your life, in other people. And people who either haven't been duped or have been and have like doubled down on their own cognitive bias, which is like the easy thing to do.
Right.
You know? So it's like, yeah, again, kind of hate to say it, but like most people take the path of least resistance.
Right.
Unless you have the motivation to do otherwise. So yeah, these are hard things, themes, and ideas to think about, because by the very nature of thinking about them and talking about them, you kind of have to draw from your own well of experience.
Mm-hmm.
How have I been duped? Or how have people I know been duped? Or how have I duped other people?
Right.
You know? And these are all kind of like dark, not so fun things to think about.
Well, at least I think for fitness, for me and for fitness, because I know that there are things in the past that I did as a fitness professional or that I believed in, like corrective exercise and foam rolling. And I used to do a ton of mobility work, and now I don't do any of that shit anymore. There's a lot I don't stretch. Don't do mobility work. There's a lot of stuff that I don't do that I once did a lot of. And it's not anymore. I am happy to two things. Say, what if I'm wrong? I'm sure the answer is probably somewhere. I'm not going to say stretching. I do typically say stretching is dumb. What if I'm wrong? So there's that. I'll tell my clients, like, I used to wholeheartedly believe in corrective exercise or foam rolling or this X, Y, and Z. And here's where my thinking has changed over the years, or here's what I think is probably more worth our time and effort. But I try to be transparent in, like, you know, when my clients come to me, I think they're often looking for that one answer, right? Again, economy of words. I can't give them, how do I get six-pack abs? Well, let's have a chat for 30 minutes about this.
The easy thing to do would be to scam them into buying a liver pill.
Right. But the hard thing is to coach. The coaching is the hard part.
Yeah.
But again, I try to be transparent and say, here's what I think is best practice. Here's what I think is valuable. Here's the pros of doing it this way. And here's the cons of doing it this way. It's not a fun conversation to have. I want surefire answers. I just can't, in good conscience, give them all the time with my clients.
Yeah.
If they said, is stretching worth my time? I'd say no. And then I'd say, but anyway.
But you could be wrong.
I could be wrong.
You're open to being wrong. And that's why you're the co-host of this podcast.
But what if I'm wrong? I might label the podcast episode, what if I'm wrong? I don't know, because it's Liver King. I'll think about it.
We've got lots of options.
We have lots of options.
Yeah, lots of material here to dig through. Well, all that to say that I hope that trust hasn't been violated too much. I hope just the general public out there who's interested in being super strong and super jacked aren't too disheartened, but are more inspired to find reliable resources, which I have faith that that's the case. So with that, that's a great reminder to subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah, because we sometimes have good answers.
Well, right on, man. Well, as we approach the end of the year, and as we approach 100 episodes, I'm in a bit of a reflective mood, and I don't know. Talking about controversy has certainly got me in one kind of like mindset, but there's nothing like a little controversy to like stir up a little, I don't know if I would call it anger, but a little, maybe some aggressive...
resentment?
Not resentment. A little bit, you know, controversy kind of stirs up a certain amount of energy.
Okay.
You know? And again, because this is like a fitness thing, I would say like it's inspired me to continue doing what I'm doing. Putting out the best content that I can. But every now and then I need a little kick in my pants to like keep doing what you're doing, you know what I mean? Cuz I don't always have that friend like who I try to be for you, who like who pumps my tires.
Yeah.
So sometimes I try to get my inspiration or motivation from the negative side. So when something like this happens, like, oh, okay, well, if Liver King is out here putting in the hustle to scam people, I need to be putting in the hustle to truly help people the best way that I can.
Oh, see, I admire that about you.
Thank you.
I also admire that, and I mean this sincerely, because I was going to bring this point up earlier. I admire that your content is truthful and sincere and, don't take this the wrong way, boring.
Mm. I've already taken that the wrong way.
I was thinking about this earlier. The fitness professional that I trust the most is the most boring. It sounds weird, but again, like going back to Liver King, he looks jacked. He's got the beard. He's, you know, out running around doing crazy stuff with the weights on the patio, like with carrying. It's this whole production.
It's a song and dance.
It's a whole song and dance. I'm a little bit skeptical. The fitness professionals that I follow and I trust the most are the ones that are more honest and straightforward and aren't trying to peddle some supplement or whatever. I think for me, as a consumer of content, I think the more honest, straightforward, even if it's boring, I should say honest, straightforward, even if it's boring content, the better. Because I don't feel like you're trying to sell me something out of the blue. It's hard work, great technique. I've told you before that you're a surgeon with your skill and technique with weightlifting.
Thank you.
I'm like the flailing tube man at the car lot with most of my lifts. You are surgically precise, and I admire it. There's a lot of those good qualities that I look for in a fitness professional that I'm going to follow and consume content. So the more straightforward, honest, and for lack of a better word, boring, the more I'm going to trust that content, because I don't feel like I'm trying to be sold something.
Mm, right.
Except for hard work, consistency, and that you should embrace the suck sometimes. But like, I can think of a few people off the top of my head right now, and I won't name names, but like, they all fit that bill, you included. Their content is good content. It's straightforward. It's be consistent and fucking work. And improve, you know, improve on the things that you can improve on. It's not this one lift. Or, ugh, the one guy that makes a ton of ton of money doing content. It's like that flat, what's his name? Cavalier, Jeff Cavalier.
Oh.
I think he makes a stupid amount of money every month. So good for him. But like, it's that like, don't ever do upright rows if you want to save your shoulders, or, you know, do this exercise for the perfect pec. I'm just like, bro, stop. Like, the one lunge variation you're not doing that blows up your quads. I'm like, quit. Stop with all that. That kind of stuff just turns me off. So that kind of shit, I'm just like, uh-uh, I'm not doing that. Liver King is one of those people. It's like, fucking doing, you know, all these crazy weights and I'm eating raw liver on camera. Like, stop. Show me the person that's swinging kettlebells and eating chicken and rice, but enjoying a cocktail with friends and pumping their tires on a Friday night at Rosemary. Like, those are the kinds of people that I want to hang out with, consume their content, so on and so forth.
Well, that does it from us, the King and Queen of Boring. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.